Anything, Dale?
Been down this road with sponsors before. I'm just sitting over here listening.
All right, Dale Hansen filling in for Junior Miller, man, today. And before we get to our Dale audio retrospective, I have an update on one of the observations that I had today at 6:30. I was wondering why the Cowboys still use the little old-style label maker on the back of their helmets to identify, you know, each player's helmet. And someone sent me a link to this write-up about the oddities of the Dallas Cowboy uniforms. And the first item was about the label tape that they use on the back of the Cowboy helmets. It's the old Dymo tape label maker. And it's an actual impression that it makes in the tape. And I remember my dad had one in his desk, and we always used to play with it when I was
a kid. Most kids today probably have no idea what that is.
Yeah, they don't know what this is. But it was like the label maker
it
back in the day.
It was magic back in the 70s.
Well, the Cowboys still use it to paste it. And if you see, look, watch a Cowboy game. You'll see it. It's on the stripes. It's vertical in the back of the helmet and the center stripe. Anyway, the Cowboys do it out of tradition. That's the reason they still use it. Yeah, there's more updated methods of labeling whose helmet is what, but the Cowboys have done it since the 60s, and so they keep using it.
Huh.
It's just a quirk of their uniform. So that's why they do it.
Wow.
Tradition. And this article goes through and mentions several other things that the Cowboys do that other teams do not, or few teams do. The collar tie-down, apparently that's a Cowboy-specific thing. I thought most
the only
teams
that
did
that.
You know what I'm talking about?
They have collars on their shirts?
Yeah, they take the collar of their shirt and they pull it down and they tie it to the top of their shoulder pads. So it's kind of crimped looking.
Wow.
And they say that a lot of Cowboys, after they leave the Cowboys, will do that to their newer uniforms because they got used to that and they kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
Their collar being pulled down
this
like that.
This sounds like a Junior Miller uniform.
Yeah, it's very
it does.
I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning for this crap here.
I mean, I remember this article. This was in just a couple months ago, wasn't it?
This says it was a couple years ago, George.
Oh. Well, there was another one on the uniform a couple months ago, too.
Curse of the Blue Jersey. When did that start?
Oh, that's been
that started with the
70s,
old bad luck blue in the 70s. Yeah.
Bad luck blue. Super Bowl V. That's when they say it started.
All those turnovers.
And then they also had the 81 NFC Championship game. The Eagles beat them.
They were wearing the bad luck blue there, and they also wore them in the championship game the following year in Washington.
So,
I mean, teams would actually require the Cowboys.
St. Louis used to make them do it.
Yeah,
Philadelphia used to
make
them do it.
Make them wear the blue jersey because that was so big deal.
All right, then a little Halloween quick hit, sporty quick hit. The Spurs and the Kings were playing on Halloween night, and a black bat flew onto the court.
Yeah, did you see the video of this?
I did not see the video to this.
I think Manu Ginobili finally got him.
He did. He swatted it out of the air with his bare hands, then reached up and picked it up and carried it off the court.
The bat!
And they played Batman. Isn't that a rabies threat there?
Well, yeah.
And he's carrying it off the court?
Yeah. I think he knocked it out.
And he's worried about swine flu, for goodness sakes. He won't shake hands with a fan in the stands because he's afraid about, he's worried about swine flu.
He refuses to shake hands with fans?
I'm sure he does. You do, don't you?
Yeah,
but I'm not.
But a bat comes flying by, I'll swat it down and pick it up.
He swats it out of the sky. There. All right, so that's
incredible.
A little sports quick hit. All right, now since Dale is with us here, we figured we would take a look back at some of Dale's great moments. And one of them I searched for here, and TMZ is no longer providing the video to your confrontation with Oprah Winfrey.
Really?
I don't know whether...
I bet Oprah had it pulled down.
Oprah got it, maybe.
You think so?
Yeah.
Or do you think Channel 8 did? Said, it's
Oprah
our video. I don't know, but Dale asked Oprah if she would like to take this opportunity to apologize to America for introducing Dr. Phil to us.
Thought it was a reasonable question. It was on the minds of everybody.
Oh, funny line.
Man.
Funny line, but for some reason, TMZ and a bunch of other news outlets got a hold of this and thought that this was, oh my gosh, someone touched the queen.
Oh, they did.
On the spot.
Yeah. What's the guy's name? Harvey Levin from TMZ, the guy that stands behind the counter and kind of ramrods everything. He called me at home, and he was just like, oh my God, what'd she do? She didn't really do anything. She just kind of looked at me and smiled. He goes, well, did she storm off? I mean, did she say anything in the commercial? I said, and I finally did. I said, listen, if you know me at all, I'd love to give you a great story. I really would. But
in
there is
I shot 72 today. And
you want to cover that?
But,
what?
But But there really wasn't much of a story. But they did. I mean, a lot of different people. And there were a couple of websites as well that were like, oh, my God. And I think that was the thing. It was like, well, you just don't ruffle the feathers of this.
See, people around here thought it was no big deal because that was you being you, yeah, and it was no big deal.
I didn't think it was any big. I really didn't think it was a big deal.
Now, I'm kind of ticked that I didn't at least go up to Channel 8 and gawk when she was up
there.
No,
you should have done that. Because
what was she like behind the scenes?
She toured the whole place, right? She's walking around there.
Oh, yeah.
She's
a bit, I'd say, Jer. No.
That's offensive.
She's not nearly as big in person as I thought she would be. I mean, I thought she's going to look like me, you know, but she doesn't. There was room for both of us in the building, you know. But she's very...
Y'all didn't have to go down the hall one at a time.
We had to do that, but you know that hall's kind of narrow right there. I mean, going there. But no, she was very sweet and very. But again, she's Oprah. Why wouldn't she be? She's got like a gazillion dollars. She's got 20 people.
What she have to worry about?
Yeah. So the behind the scenes on her visit there. The first thing everyone mentioned from
the
Channel
shoes.
8,
the shoes.
The shoes was one story.
What about her shoes?
We'll get to the shoe story in just a second. But her entourage, she really does travel with like 20 people surrounding her at all times.
At all times. I mean, she went outside to meet everybody, and she's kind of fist bumping everybody. And she doesn't take anything. I mean, people were giving her all kinds of stuff and asking her for money and everything. And so she has an assistant take everything. And she was explaining this, and this, in hindsight, makes perfect sense, that several years ago, apparently, some guy gave her like a song that he wanted her to help get published. Mm-hmm. And she just kind of tosses it aside. A few years later, supposedly somebody else writes a song. She ends up getting sued over the deal. So now she takes nothing. And then you get a response from her assistant, like, here it is, Oprah looked at it or didn't look at it or however they handle it. But yeah, she's got like 20 people, and wherever she walks, there's like this little bee's nest, you know, and she's in the middle. She's the queen bee of the hive.
See, I worry about the
people. And the hive just kind of moves, you know.
I worry about the people who go down there and just jump up and down and scream to see Oprah.
Why?
Oh, she's that many. It's like she's not like
humans are programmed
John Lennon
to be obsessed
in 1963.
With
I'm telling you though, she really is not. This is at least for me the best way I could describe it. You walk into the and you know the studio there, Gordon. You walk into the big studio. If you didn't know she was Oprah Winfrey, it would take you like 5 seconds to think there's somebody in here that's really special.
She has that presence.
She's got that presence. She's got that aura. She's got whatever the hell it is. Mm-hmm. But you just kind of glance over to the side and you go, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, there's something there. Now, she's pretty. Now, part of it is when you've got two people combing your hair and another woman putting your shoes on.
Tell the shoe story.
This was one I thought was kind of wild. She's sitting there getting ready to do an interview with one of the stations from Houston or Austin or something. And she looks over the monitor and realizes the shoes that she had on didn't look right. Mm-hmm. So she tells one of her assistants, you know, go get me that other pair of shoes, the brown pair of shoes there. So the woman comes back. Oprah's just sitting there kind of talking to this female reporter. I can't really do justice to this on the rip, but just sticks her foot out. Oh, I'm sorry, knocked this out. But just sticks her leg out, rather.
Without breaking a sentence or looking
just
down.
Just keeps right
or
on talking, and the woman just kneels down and takes her shoe off and puts her other shoe on.
I mean, that's rich and powerful.
Oh,
you
yeah,
can't even
you
change your own
shoes.
So, George, what I was saying is, and all of a sudden you see this
foot
big old
up.
Leg sticking out there. And
big old ostrich foot sticking up.
And, you know, like, a buddy of mine, I held this as the ticket, but a buddy of mine said, white girl kneel down?
Oh, my Lord.
Dale Hansen.
I've never denied I've got racist friends. I've never denied it. But this woman comes walking along with this pair of shoes and kneels down, and Oprah's just continuing to talk and has her legs sticking out, and the woman kneels down, takes her shoe off, slides her shoe on, and they then begin the interview.
Wow. That's so great.
You know, that's what I said. When I retire, I want to be a shoe changer. I'm looking for
it. No kidding. I wonder what she gets paid.
Gotta
so, there were, but there were no incidents of her really big timing or being.
No.
Was she
very
nice?
No,
so high maintenance, like, hey, when I walk through Channel 8, I don't want to see any posters of so and so hung up or.
Well, I don't know. I mean, at least I didn't hear about that. But there was the attitude of high maintenance. That was kind of annoying to me. And I was sitting back there during the show, and I was just cracking a few jokes. I was trying to do my best Gordon Keith impression, and. Channel 8 management and different levels of management, and certainly Oprah's little crowd would just kind of snapped their head back, like, whoa, I mean, what?
You're back there cracking up and cracking jokes.
I'm trying to do a few jokes and maybe kind of see what's going to work when I get on the set, you know.
Testing the waters.
It was a setup deal from the get-go, you know. Channel 8 management said, here, you go out there, we'll act like you're going to do a sportscast, and then you just do whatever the hell you want to do. I said, okay, I'll do that. It'd be kind of fun. Well, the other problem was they didn't tell Gloria. So Gloria thought, so here's Oprah. Oprah goes, Dale's here to talk about this big Texas OU game coming up this weekend. And I, if you saw this, I go, no, I'm not going to do that. Not when I've got a chance to talk to Oprah Winfrey.
Let me try out some shtick on Oprah.
Yeah,
here.
So let me see some of this stuff works. And Gloria's over there, and Gloria's eyes just keep getting bigger and bigger. And, you know, you know, Gloria's got the good laugh, the support laugh. Well, she's just staring
at me. She's laying out at you. Yeah.
And then at the end of it, she says, Dale, we're out of time. You don't have time to talk about Texas OU. And I'm like, what kind of a goopy thing is that? I'm not going to talk about Texas OU. So we get off the show, and I said, Gloria, you knew I was supposed to do that, right? She goes, no, I thought you were just doing the sportscast. And I thought,
Oh, yeah.
So that was a little bit awkward.
But afterwards, Oprah wasn't awkward towards you, like, why'd you do that?
She was very nice. And then a couple of the people of her entourage did come up to me and say, hey, that was very good. That was very funny. And, you know, my point is, if they were upset about it, yeah, they would
have gone.
But I don't think she personally was big-timing anybody, except for the fact that, on the one hand, her entourage does it for her, and or the management of Channel 8 is concerned. So they kind of do it for her. Yeah. It was all like, I mean, they went in and cleaned up the entire makeup room, you know, back there.
Yeah.
And they threw my stuff out. I go back there, and I'm looking. I have all my little...
Your mascara and everything.
And
yeah.
My
kiss makeup.
My lip rouge makeup. And, you know, and it's gone. And I said, so I come back out. I said, where the hell is it? And they said, oh, you know, they threw it all out. They wanted to clean the room up so that when... I said, what, Oprah's never been in a messy makeup room?
She doesn't care.
And all my stuff is gone. So I had to do the entire sportscast with my warts showing that I cover up, you know, and that big birthmark I've got on the other cheek that I've hidden behind the mask. You know. No, I'm up there, and I think that's what offended everybody. But no, she was very, very... And I'm telling you, it was cool. This is the one thing I do like about my life. 61 years old, and it still gave me a rush. It still gave me a rush to meet Oprah Winfrey. It really did. It was a very cool moment. You should have come down.
I know.
I think they would have locked your ass out.
You think they would have kept me far from her?
I can't believe Dale's 61.
Really? Yeah. What do you think? I'm 60.
I don't know. I just think
you look over 75.
You always just look eternally 50 to
me. I think I'm 52. I look 52, 53 tops. You know, my body feels about 73. My mind is somewhere in the mid 20s.
Well, I know why I find this hard to believe. My first year at KRLD, it was Dale's birthday party doing the Tony Roma show on Thursday night. Tony Dorsett's here. Come down, say us. And he was doing that, and Brad says, hey, you do a Dale impersonation. Why don't you do a Dale impersonation for Dale on his birthday? And I was so nervous. I've been on the air for about 2 months, and I did it, and I had shake voice, and it was horrible. And after I did it, Brad goes, well, that is not as strong as I remembered it. And Dale goes, that was terrible. That was terrible.
Oh,
wow.
No.
And it was just such a failure moment.
You reduced him there at the end. Sounded like a chihuahua yapping.
But I just, you know, that was Dale's 40th birthday.
Yeah, that's been
21 years.
Do you get a rush when you meet big-time people?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Gordo, you?
Yeah, they're not as much, but there's still some of them that just get me tongue-tied. I mean, like, you know, I can't believe I'm sitting across from this person.
Who would really knock you over if you met him?
If I met him, I think Bill Murray, Steve Martin, either of those two guys for sure.
Chris Rock?
No, probably not Chris Rock. I'd be fine there.
Any member of U2 to me would be...
Well, see, I've talked to them before. And this is not
it was in a group setting. It was at a press conference at the Super Bowl. But yeah, I think I was too nervous to take the mic that day. I was very tongue-tied, and I couldn't have said anything to him. I wouldn't have asked him if they shouldn't have brought a doctor on the air.
Like what?
Dale did with Oprah.
I don't know.
Dr. Phil.
I don't know if there's anybody that would bother me in that way, but I do believe this, that if and when the day would come that I didn't look forward to it with a certain amount of nervousness or anticipation or it really is time to quit. And I'm telling the truth, because a couple people said, well, my God, at the end you were just gushing over her. And I'm like, well,
it's Oprah.
She's Oprah Winfrey, sure. For goodness sake.
By the way, who's on the cover of her magazine this month? Who's she had on the cover?
She's on the cover again, Georgia. You know gag. She's always on the cover of her magazine.
Hmm.
All right, are we going to get to Dale Audio?
Let's play it real quick. What do we have?
I tried to kill off the whole segment.
You almost did. That was a good penalty kill on your part.
The Dan Bennett prank. And what was the other bit of audio we had, Fernando? Fake Norman Dale. Let's do fake Norman Dale.
Okay, fake Norman Dale. That's all right. We'll be a little late.
This is when Giorgio as Norm, and when I listen back, how did he ever buy this Norm?
I don't know. It's not that strong a Norm. And
which one now?
This is when I called you before training camp.
Yeah, oh, my God, I bought that completely. Completely.
And listen at how rude Dale is shooting down Norm, who needs to share a room with him for training camp.
Hello. How you doing, Mr. H?
I'm doing fine.
Good. Are you going to be in training camp next week?
All of next week.
All next week.
Huh?
So you're doing your show next Friday from down there?
This Friday and next Friday.
Okay. Have you talked to Dan?
No. Dan Bennett?
Yeah.
No, about what?
Okay. Well, where are you staying?
At the Hyatt.
Okay, good. Because that's where we're staying.
Uh-huh.
Did he talk to you about room arrangements?
No.
Well, we're short of rooms.
We're short of rooms?
Well, Cliff is. Are you staying under through Channel 8?
Right.
Yeah. Oh. Because...
Are you asking to sleep with me? No.
Well, that was going to be my point, because I don't want to stay with Fish.
Yeah. No, I just got the one. I assume I got the same room. I just got the one room with the one double bed, what they've already got me set up in.
Well, it's one more room than I've got.
I don't know. What happened?
See, I thought that you were staying under Cliff. That's what Dan told me. and if that was the case, Dale, which is fine, but we're short of room, and I thought I was going to have your room. Which basically turns out to be your room. I thought Dan gave you one of our rooms, so I'm short of room. Because now they want me to stay with Fish.
Oh,
yeah.
I don't know why the hell he would have said that. I've never stayed anything like that. I mean, I've got a Channel 8 room that was booked through Channel 8 and all that kind of nonsense. And
see, I thought you did this through Dan and Murtis and everyone over here.
No, I don't know where that would have come from. Did you have the Hyatt? I take it you're saying the Hyatt's completely booked up?
Yes, booked up. All next week and then the next week too. So, I don't know. I guess I'm going to have to stay somewhere else, unless I can stay with you.
I hate to be a jerk, but I can't stand that. I'm sorry, but I never let anybody stay with me. We have a Channel 8 there, and I just can't stand that. And quiet down. And
I've heard you snore like a walrus, Dale.
I'm trying to say, we've got one room down at the... some of our guys are staying down at the Wyndham,
mm-hmm.
But I don't know what the Wyndham's deal is. I mean, I don't know if they got openings or what. I got the room through Channel 8. You might check with Channel 8. You might check with Billy Matthews and see if there's anybody that's not. A lot of times we will get rooms and then guys don't go or they're not staying for certain days.
There might be a possibility
of something like that being able to be worked out through Channel 8. But
what if I slip on the floor?
In Billy Matthews' room, that's fine. Well, you get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Of course, that's by the time I get in, so it wouldn't be that big deal.
See, we're just bumping the night, Dale.
Bumping
the night.
I'm sorry. I can't help you. But yeah, you might. I mean, James Marsh was supposed to be going down. Billy was supposed to go. Then they're not going to go. And then Susie. I don't know. But
maybe I can stay with Susie Woodham.
Well, now that maybe in that case I might be able to work out a trade. You have a complete room.
Hey, have you heard? Have you heard Dunman Miller lately? Have you heard the prank call of the week?
What?
That's what this is. It's the prank call of the week, Dale. Come on, Dale, let me stay with you, please. Let's sleep in the same bed.
Is this George?
Yeah, this is George.
Unbelievable. I've said this 800 times, and I'm telling you, you are unbelievable.
There you go. Look into our audio vault. Oh, God, what year was that?
That was 95, I guess.
I said, you see, if I could sleep with, I'll see if I can share a room with Susie Williams. And I said, well, you know, if she's willing to do that, we'll work a deal. And
right.
So I went to Susie. I said, oh, my God, I was just joking around this morning. And she goes, and I said that. And she goes, what, you think I'm a prude? And I went, let's talk about this later. I mean, I love me a little Polynesian brown-eyed girl.
Is that what she is, Polynesian?
Well, she is.
Something messed up.
She is between 2 and 4 in the morning. I know.
Awesome. But good Lord.
Awesome.
Yeah, was that from 1995 or 1935?
Yeah, well, we had to send it up to the space
chatty
shuttles and back, and that's what we got. All right, 9:34. There's some classic Dale for you. Up next, a ranch.